Chapter 32. Farron.
Snap. Ah! Okay, I'll talk.
Farron tried to swallow, but his throat was too swollen from screaming.
What do you want to talk about? You want to discuss the weather? Fine, we'll talk about the weather.
Sweat poured from Farron's brow.
You want to discuss the lack of proper sanitation in this place? You're right. It's appalling. Anything you want to talk about, let's talk.
Farron gritted his teeth and glanced down at his ruined finger. It was bent upwards and poking awkwardly to the side in the most grotesque fashion. His knees buckled under the pain, and his heart was racing faster than the prize stallion at the Rowan Festival of Lights on its final turn into the home stretch. He had always loved the city festivals. Everything about them, the changing of the fall colours during the month of Kuma, the overabundance of exotic foods, the garish decorations, an atmosphere which lent itself to the belief that anything was possible. It was a time of magic. Well, not in the literal sense, of course. It was a time to drop the cares and worries of everyday life down the deepest, darkest well, and spend a few days focusing on nothing more than oneself. Farron closed his eyes and tried to will himself there. He tried to remember the sights, the smells, the sounds of excitement and laughter. People enthralled in the joy of putting aside their work and reveling in a bit of honest distraction. He had been particularly fascinated with Overlord Agnar's annual tournaments. The games were a continual source of enjoyment for Farron, especially those centered on the sword. The handcrafted works of art being displayed, the clanging of the metal with each precise swing, the blades being dulled, bent, and chipped as the sparks flew upwards. It was exhilarating. He strained to hold on to the pleasant memories, to keep his focus on anything but the present. But the intense pain kept pulling him back, like a dirty secret not wanting to remain hidden. The frustration was overwhelming.
Why aren't you talking?
Farron muttered. His eyes were bloodshot, and his mouth was as dry as a sun-bleached bone.
I thought you wanted to talk. I'm ready. Come on, you flatulent potlicker, let's talk.
His lips smacked with the need for water.
My dear Smith, I assure you we will talk. But I fear you aren't quite ready yet.
Cheeks slid his finger down Farron's forearm, across the steel manacle holding his wrist in place, and lightly stroked the top of his hand. The touch was tender, as soft as a lover's caress. Farron closed his eyes, trying to picture what that would be like, the touch of a beautiful woman who loved him.
Drat! She wouldn't even have to be beautiful. She could be as ugly as a barnyard porker, and he wouldn't have cared, just so long as it kept his mind off the pain. Snap! Ah! Stop! Wait! Just wait!
The tears were swelling, blurring his vision of the bald, tattooed-faced man in front of him.
Please, just wait.
He tried to catch his breath, sucking back deep, inundating gulps, hoping the pain would subside before what he knew was about to happen, happened. He couldn't believe how similar the sound was to that of a thick twig being split between two hands. A simple bending of the wood, until the tension reached its breaking point. And then,
snap!
He screamed again, his back pressing so tight against the rungs of the rack it actually drew blood. The pain was overwhelming. His eyes squeezed shut, too afraid to look down at his disfigured fingers for fear it would bring even more reality to the agony he endured.
Now, let's start again, shall we? Who are the other wielders living in Rowan? I'm sure you can give us some names. A city that size is bound to have at least one wielder council, if not two or three.
Concentrate. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out.
Baron fought to control his sanity. He was on the verge of losing consciousness. He prayed, begged, and pleaded for it. But unfortunately, the Creator, if there was such a being, remained silent.
Baron had his doubts. Maybe I could give him just one name. That wouldn't be so terrible, would it? Someone I don't even like. Perhaps Gareth. Yeah, I could give him Gareth's name. Then maybe he'd stop.
The battle to give in raged on.
No, you can't do it. Hold out just a little longer.
He took another deep breath.
I told you. I don't know of anyone else.
His voice was shaking under the pressure.
I mainly kept to myself.
Sweat poured down his face, dripping from the tip of his nose.
It's not like we all get together on sixth day for a game of Batmyth or something.
Actually, that's exactly what they did. He did have those he knew within the Hidden Wielder communities there in Rowan, those he considered friends. A few were rather close. He couldn't betray them, especially not Mariah. His twin sister looked up to him, relied on him. He was, in many respects, her mother and father. He had looked after her since they were kids. He had to live, if for any reason, to get back to her. Cheeks ignored Ferran's sarcasm as he paced in front of the large upturned rack with his hands folded behind his back.
Why do you fight it, Smith? You will tell us what we want to know. It's inevitable. Everyone breaks. I have dedicated my life to the study of this phenomenon. How much torture one body can accept before its mind betrays its heart?
An image of Mariah flooded Ferran's thoughts. Fair skin covered with thick red curls, her soft features, those sympathetic eyes, the way she could just look at you and make you forget all your problems. What he wouldn't give for a glance from those eyes, or a single hug. She was the one good thing left in his life. The one person who had stuck with him, even after the other wielders had shunned him and eventually exiled him from their gatherings. They didn't want someone like him being associated with their assembly, someone who used his abilities in such an open manner. He'd always argued that the Creator had given him those gifts, and they shouldn't be afraid to use them. In retrospect, he should have paid a little more heed. Ferran needed to find a way to escape. He wasn't going to be able to hold out much longer. The only reason they hadn't sent him to purging already was because he was still valuable to them. His ability to forge steel in a way that made it nearly indestructible was a talent the White Tower obviously desired. How long they would be willing to wait before killing him and moving on, he didn't know. If it came down to it, would he be willing to help the Tower in order to spare his life long enough to find a way to escape? The Inquisitor stepped to the other side of the rack and started to stroke the fingers on Ferran's other hand.
How about a change of subject, then? Maybe that will stimulate some answers.
Ferran knew exactly what the Inquisitor was going to ask. Cheeks slid his hand around Ferran's small finger and waited. He seemed to be taunting him, or maybe he was just testing his resolve. Ferran didn't know. But at the moment, he just wished the sadist would hurry up and get it over with.
Go on. What are you waiting for? You got a question, or do you just enjoy holding my hand? Snap! Ferran cried out involuntarily.
Now that wasn't a very nice thing to say, was it?
Cheeks paused to inspect his work.
Have you given any more thought to joining our good cause? The White Tower could use a man of your talents. Why put yourself through this, Smith? Join us. If not for yourself, then do it for all those other Vanae out there who are unable to stand against their Junri oppressors.
Theron laughed through gritted teeth.
Do you even hear yourself, you pompous offspring of an overfed dung beetle? You open your mouth, and what comes out might as well be pure gibberish for all the truth it brings. You want me to join the White Tower to help the Vanae, and yet it's the White Tower that is hunting us down, you stupid sack of orm lava. Snap. Ah!
Theron roared over the pain.
I'm going to kill you. You hear me? Before this is over, you are going to beg me for death. Snap, snap.
Theron's head bounced on the wire-bound framing of the bed as his screams echoed off the stone walls around him. Hatred poured from his eyes while the contents of his stomach poured from his mouth. Cheeks squeezed the fingers on Theron's left hand, bringing him to the point of nearly biting his tongue in half as he clamped down under the nausea threatening to take him. The Inquisitor finally stepped back.
Clean up this mess, Rhea,
he ordered the little healer, who had been quietly watching from the far corner of the room. Cheeks donned his richest smile.
I want to do this again.
The Inquisitor strolled over to his table of instruments and scanned the lot, one at a time.
You will eventually come to understand the value of working with the White Tower. The Arch-Chancellor is a patient man, but only to a point. I would encourage you not to waste his time. It is in your best interest that you accept his offer.
Theron thought he could hear a hint of fear in the Inquisitor's words. Whatever happened, Theron knew his only chance was to find a way to escape, or find a way to take his own life. No one had ever escaped the White Tower, a fact that he was repeatedly reminded of as a way to detour the very notion. As much as he wanted to be there for his sister, he couldn't take a chance on her being used as a way to force him to do the White Tower's bidding. He'd rather die than betray his friends or family.
Everyone has a weakness, Smith. I will find yours.
Theron took a deep breath. He had to hold out long enough to find a way to escape.